There's a thousand further women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to the Katz Report on the radio. This is John Katzlamitas. I write the Katz Report in the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, our news magazine that comes out on the Sunday, except on the occasions when it comes out on the Saturday, and once in a while on the Monday. Sitting with me now are two really, really terrific performers and vocalists. They're friends of mine. They are the co-leads of Alice, a steampunk concert fantasy, yeah, which is a rock and steampunk adaptation of the story Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. The show returns to Brooklyn Bowl on February 24th, a 10 p.m. pre-show presentation and 11 o'clock showtime. Here to talk about this raging production are Ann Martinez and Ashley Fuller. Welcome back to the studio. And welcome to the studio, Ashley.
Thank you. I haven't been here. It's my first time.
It's pretty scary, isn't it?
I know. It's really powerful. Overwhelming walking down those halls.
Yeah, I know. We didn't allow the studio audience in today. Usually we have about four or 500 people.
But oh, wow. Where do they all fit? So I don't know.
They jam them in here just like that Jubilee Theater. They just jam them in here. Just make sure everybody's accountable. So you guys have been very busy lately.
Yes.
To understate it. Mm-hmm. Where are we in rehearsals for the show right now? At what point are we... You ready to take stage?
We're good. I mean, we're right now we're just piecing everything together. We have a new cast member. Jeffrey DeBerethy is making his debut as the Cheshire Cat.
Yay! He hasn't been in the show before.
No.
Jeffrey's in Zombie Burlesque.
Yes.
And he's been in a bunch of shows, right?
Yeah. He also designed a lot of our costumes.
Oh, okay.
He and Georgia Richardson. So he's making his debut. And it's also his vocal debut as well as a singer. So it's really exciting.
Okay.
So we're prepping him. And then we also, Laura Kelsey is returning after her injury. So we're excited to have her back.
How did Laura get... Was she injured? What was her injury?
She had an elbow injury.
Oh, okay.
So that makes it difficult for her to do the pole stilt act, but she's doing really well. So
Laura
she's back.
Kelsey is one of the many Jubilee graduates.
She
in
is.
The show, right?
Yeah.
And she's about 6'8".
Yeah.
And, and she also was in Zombie Burlesque and was part of the Dancing Kelsey family.
She is.
Yeah, Ryan is her brother, who's co-director, co-choreographer of your show.
Yep.
Yeah, and who's also in the new Chips show.
He is, yeah.
Why do I know a lot about the Kelseys?
I know, right? They're everywhere.
Let's reel this back for people who are not familiar with Alice. And this is about a dozen shows you've done
over
the
about,
course
yeah.
of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just, if you would, Anne, indulge us in explaining what we'll see on stage and what its inspiration was. Let's start with that.
The show itself, the storyline is every day... A different Alice comes into Wonderland, and her looking glass self, which is Isila, which is Alice backwards, played by Ashley Fuller. Her mission is to kill the new Alice and steal her soul, and then they wait for the next one to come down every day. So it's another day like any other, and then Alice comes down the rabbit hole, and the first act one of the show is them seducing her, hypnotizing her, enticing her through different vignettes, music, inspired by the book. And then she goes to smoke the hookah, which usually does her in. And for some reason, this Alice survives. And after that, all hell breaks loose.
Right.
And so...
The Alice doesn't react to this
now we have two Alices.
Intended fashion.
Yeah. We have Alice and then her looking glass self. And it's how the two characters come together and join their forces to find the Red Queen and with that, their escape out of Wonderland.
Live band.
Live band, nine-piece band.
Nine-piece band under the direction, again, of David Perico.
Yes.
And what is there, just give us a few examples of what the songs are going to be.
Well, what I did, when I started writing it originally, I wanted to take songs that are familiar, but have them arranged uniquely. Mm-hmm. So that's why I immediately went to Dave Perico, because that is just his specialty. Mm-hmm. So I picked...
Great arranger.
He's David. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible.
Great
so
musician,
I knew he could do what I was... hearing in my head and make it even better. So we took everything from Pure Imagination from Willy Wonka, Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics, to Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash, to She's So Heavy by the Beatles. We've got Duffy, Evanescence, Lady Gaga, Aerosmith, David Bowie. So I really picked, I mean, honestly, a lot of those songs are songs that I really love and artists that I really love. And then as once Ashley came into the show, we really started rethinking the music. And from that, we added Amy Winehouse, mm-hmm. and we also added Bjork for Ashley.
Those are specifically for you, Ashley, right?
Yes. Yeah. Especially the Bjork number. I'd wanted to put Bjork into the show for a very long time, but I was waiting for just the right moment. And after Ashley joined the show and we had been reworking the harmonies and just all the musicality of everything, I knew it's a very difficult piece, and I knew she could handle it and make mm-hmm. it incredible. So I literally gave it to her and was like, just do whatever you want. And she was awesome. We also added Mad World as well to
the
show.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break here and talk more about the show, you guys. There's a lot of territory to cover here, including the future of the show, which mm-hmm. and both of you are going to be playing a role in. But first, before we do that, we're going to welcome Josh Bell to the program for his weekly raking of the recent film releases, and then we're going to come back with Anne Martinez and Ashley Fuller of Alice, a steampunk concert fantasy. So stick around. I know we will.
You want to win a gold medal?
Sure.
You want to do it in Berlin? Well, I mean, unless you were planning on waiting.
You know, I heard they don't care much for color folk over there.
That's Stephen James as running star Jesse Owens and Jason Sudeikis as his coach in Race. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Biopics don't come much more conventional than this rote, formulaic account of the early life and career of Olympic track and field star Owens, most famous for winning 4 gold medals in the 1936 Berlin Olympics, which were held under the rule of Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party. James is a capable star, although Sudeikis is miscast in a serious role. Nothing in the movie feels particularly significant, and journeyman director Stephen Hopkins renders it all in broad strokes, with a bland TV movie flatness. I give Race 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Risen, about the investigation into the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
I want nothing touched here, post a watch, and everything leaving Jerusalem searched. Arrest anyone claiming the Nazarene lives and find out where they heard it.
That's tricky.
This ridiculous religious drama makes Jesus' resurrection into a plotting procedural, led by Joseph Fiennes as a Roman tribune looking for the supposed Messiah's dead body. The tribune's journey from hardened antagonist to true believer is completely unengaging, and Jesus' disciples come off as a bunch of grinning doofuses. The movie is dull and drab, and it fails at both historical dramatization and religious inspiration. I give Risen 1.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. John Katsalamidis of the Cats Report on the radio. Joining me this week are the co-leads of Alice, a steampunk concert fantasy, which is going to be performed once more at Brooklyn Bowl at 10 p.m. on February 24th. That's when the pre-show starts. The real show starts at 11. It's a burning experience. I've seen, I think, every one of these, except mm-hmm. maybe one. I think I missed one of
you
these.
One you missed.
Yeah.
How
I was,
dare you.
I was incarcerated. it was a period when I was knocking over liquor stores, but we'll talk about that later.
Hey.
So the show's coming back once more to Brooklyn Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask both of you the open question. What is it like to be to perform in there compared to the other places you've been? Ashley, you've been in Vinyl, right, when
yes.
it was there?
Yes,
that was when you entered the
production. That was
when I started the
show.
And tell me what it's like to be in that venue. It's very distinctively designed,
yes.
and it seems to be suited pretty well for this show.
Yeah, it feels like it's a really good fit for the show, especially that they've added different, you know, aspects with the aerial and people flying in, literally. Mm-hmm. And their sound is amazing there, especially when we got John Meaner. He's mm-hmm. amazing. I just mm-hmm. think it just feels, it feels right there for the cast.
Yeah.
You can kind of stretch our wings and our legs. And I think the first show we did in October, it was really exciting because it just felt right.
Yeah,
felt
the right sound in that place is deceptively very effective. It,
yes.
it doesn't look like the kind of place that would have great sound.
Right.
It looks like kind of a big barn.
Yeah.
But everywhere you walk around, it's really good.
Yeah.
And John is, as you mentioned, John has been doing sound in this city for a long time.
He's the best.
Yeah, he can make it sound good anywhere.
Yeah, he really
can. You guys
can.
At the Tuscany.
Yeah.
You did it
yeah,
there?
Yeah, we
right,
had him originally. It's a difficult show to sound for sound control because the band is so vast and we have mm-hmm. very different instrumentation. with the horns, we have a viola, we have a full percussion, you know, guitar, bass, keys, like it's a lot. Mm-hmm. And then you have two female vocalists where neither one is an alto or soprano throughout the show. As usually you have a track where you're just an alto and you're just a soprano. The way we arranged it is we're flipping every song. So that way someone's getting a little bit of a break vocally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult. It's a very difficult challenge to sound, but he does an amazing job.
And this is a show where the all the performers move around the room, except the band stays in its place.
Yeah.
So that's also something to consider, right?
Yeah, it's an active show. And when I was first putting it together, I wanted something where it was very much an ensemble piece.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is pivotal to the storyline. So that required a lot of our dancers as well to be very intense in their acting performance and also physically.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted the world to spill over into the audience and then spill back.
Right. And this is a show where the dancers have to actually get into character. Have to get into character, right? Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
You have to. It's not just going out and doing a recitation of
I give them
cool
a lot.
Songs.
I mean, I still have a lot to give them, but I give people full character breakdowns that can be quite emotionally intimidating.
Does that include
and vulnerable?
Ashley?
Yes.
So what is your character breakdown for?
For Ashley?
Yeah,
the idea behind the looking glass is it's your mirror image, but it's also reversed. So the idea of the real Alice Liddell, who Lewis Carroll was so fond of, is that Lewis Carroll was a very awkward man, also extremely intelligent. He was a mathematician. And Alice Liddell's family kind of took him under their wing because they kind of felt bad. Her father was a professor as well, and they felt bad for Lewis Carroll just because he was so socially, you know, just crippled. And he loved the girls because they weren't adults yet, so they didn't judge him. They didn't see him for what he was, which was an awkward man.
Mm-hmm.
So when they hit puberty, he became very intimidated. He was very intimidated by adults. And so he would reject them and wouldn't talk to them when it broke their heart. And so the girls almost became resentful and hurt. So the idea when I was writing the show is that Alice character is very innocent, very pure in a way. And then her looking glass self is all that is the anger and the betrayal of losing that love. And so when they come to when the Alice character survives the hookah, she starts to take in that aggression, and then the Asila character starts to become more understanding and loving. So they actually become one. So I really use that transition from the actual people that inspired the book to push forward in the story.
So Ashley, as someone who's coming into the show, and your Asila character is described to you that way,
right?
What went through your head? I mean, how did you?
She's crazy.
I think that.
I'm gonna do this.
This is gonna be fun, guys. When I first stepped in to the show, it was overwhelming, but in the best way possible. Because Anne's so creative, and she has all these great ideas, and I was loving it that when you are a singer in one of Anne's shows, she's not going to let you park and bark, as we say, just stand and sing. She's like, let's jump off things and sing at the same time. And then to layer on top of that, obviously the character, you know, and my journey and struggle through the show, and also trying to relay that to the audience, it definitely was something, it was a challenge. It still is, and I feel like every show I'm trying to find new ways of figuring that out, you know, organically in the moment. It's kind of scary, but it's also really fun. It's a great challenge.
Where was your vocal training? How are you educated?
I did a lot of conservatory work all throughout my high school years. I sang in choirs my entire life up until I left for school when I was 18 for New York. But I did choir, and I sang every single part, literally from bass to first soprano. Mm-hmm. And I did musical theater with the conservatory, just did private voice lessons, and I did a lot of cover band work too. So,
what kind of cover band work?
Everything under the sun.
Really?
Yeah, just literally everything. If I had to sing.
So you can do musical theater, you can do rock and roll.
She can do everything.
Yeah.
I'm just going to brag.
I don't doubt that.
I'm going to brag about her because she's obviously not going to say because she's lovely. But Ashley is music is math. And it's extremely complicated, especially when you go into like jazz and just more complicated like chord progression. Ashley is an extremely intelligent vocalist in that she hears things that are very difficult to find. And she is extremely intelligent in how she structures her music. So when I first met Ashley and heard her sing, I could hear that in her voice and her choices. And then what I loved about her is that she's the most unselfish performer. It is purely for the audience. There is nothing there that she keeps for herself. It's very much giving. And I needed someone that raw and that open for this difficult role. And she gives it a humanity that is difficult, because when you're playing a character that is so aggressive, you can just sit in anger. And she gives it the humanity. But that's how she is as a vocalist. She's an incredible jazz musician, and she'll never say it, so I'm just going to say it.
It's funny you're that so you say sweet. Selfless, and yet, you know, it's being a team player and all that. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
But when you watch the show, I mean, when you both are doing your thing, it's a dominant thing. I mean, you can't take your eyes off that performance. So I think it's just inherent in the structure of the show that it becomes...
It's hard. And for us both, it's very vulnerable. Both characters are very vulnerable, and it's a lot physically.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to have that taking care of each other at all times.
Right.
Because a lot of stuff I don't actually set specifically. I leave it open for us to improv.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be completely connected and taking care of each other the entire show. So you need that kind of trust and camaraderie to make it work.
Right.
And so that's something that we were very focused on in the show is really taking care of each other, even in the aggressive parts, because we want to keep it organic so it's not too set and choreographed. But to do that, we have to be like completely connected, watching each other, taking care of each other, so we can make it real.
Right. Ashley, this booking comes on the heels, coincidentally, of the way we've known you mostly, is just in Jubilee.
Right.
It comes just a couple of weeks after that show closed. And, you know, I've seen you in a lot of these Alice shows, but not a lot of people have. Most know you as Jubilee.
Right.
I'll just let you speak to this. What did you learn from that process of being in that show?
In Jubilee?
Yes.
I think I learned... a lot of, the schedule there is pretty intense. I mean, 6 nights a week, and I'm also a mom, so that was intense and a challenge of finding my time and being able to have my voice, my stamina kind of keep up, because a lot of the times we would be having shows, Anne and I would be running from doing two shows at Jubilee to doing a show.
Literally running down
that
the street.
That happened a lot at Vinyl, especially.
Yes.
And I think at Brooklyn Bowl also. Did it not?
Oh,
both
yeah,
of you
Ashley,
coming in? I know Ashley was coming in. Right,
Ashley literally did two shows of Jubilee, grabbed her stuff, and ran down the street like a crazy woman.
Down the link.
Down the link street into the dressing room, and we are all waiting for her, and literally strip her down, put her clothes on her. April and I start doing her hair, and then Aldolfo is doing her makeup. Mm-hmm. We call it toddlers and tiaras moment.
Except like the pit crew. Right?
Yes, and it's like, it is a team effort. I mean, we're putting her shoes on for her, and she can just sit and get her head together and get some water and relax and just kind of, because she only gets 10 minutes to get ready.
Wow.
It's intense. Yeah. And she kills it every time.
But I think with Jubilee too, it was really interesting, especially when we had shows coming up when Anne and I were together.
And Anne was in the show also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was really cool to do a show like Jubilee, which is like, we're having a good time, jazz hands out, and beveling to going straight into Alice, where it's raw, it's
gritty.
Just,
they are two shows that are unlike each other completely. I always wanted to make that run. I regret that I didn't of doing Jubilee and then doing Alice in one night.
Oh,
It's a nice little jaunt.
Journey.
it's a physical journey. It's an emotional and artistic journey.
Yes.
It's probably a financial journey as
well.
I mean, who knows? But what do you think about the closing of Jubilee? If you had to tell somebody about your experience on the show, I'm just, you know, saw you. You nailed that finale. It was great.
I mean,
I mean, it's like you deliver every other show, but I think that particular performance, it was like really powerful because of the audience's response.
I think for me, it was, it came at a good time. I mean, I hate to say that because I know so many people in the cast that the closing of Jubilee was really obviously detrimental because that's their income and their sole income. But for me, I was looking for a change and I was ready to kind of have my schedule freed up a little bit. I felt like I learned and took everything I could with me from Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
And as sad as it is to say goodbye to everybody and for the show, the legacy of the show to be closing,
for me, it actually came at a good time. I kind of felt like this was meant to happen the way it did in my timeline of like my life and what's meant to be.
and you're in, you have had experience in Jubilee, but you're in a bunch of shows. Fantasy.
She's in everything.
I'm a swinging.
You're swinging.
Wait, what show is she not in?
Yeah. I wrote this out in a tweet your week. You were in Fantasy.
I swing Fantasy, Zombie Burlesque.
Monday, Tuesday in Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Zombie Burlesque, As Needed.
As Needed, and Showstoppers, As Needed.
And Showstoppers.
Yeah.
Steve Wynn's Showstoppers, mm-hmm. which is no cakewalk. None of those are easy.
No,
but tell me about the Showstoppers experience.
Showstoppers is beautiful. I mean, that's what I grew up doing. I started working professionally when I was 11, and I've always loved that old school musical theater. So if as difficult and complicated to do all three female singer tracks, and they're very different.
That's what you have to know.
Yeah, right? I cover all three girls. It's the learning process was a lot, but it feels like home. I mean, that's what I grew up doing. So, you know, those songs, you know, they're beautiful. What I love about that show is that it's for everyone. You know, there's no PG rating. It's for everybody, and it's very, very beautiful. And nothing beats singing with an orchestra. It's the best. Mm-hmm.
Right there on stage with
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and fabulous dancers, incredible dance captains there. They take good care of me, and the wardrobe staff is incredible. Stage management. I mean, it's just a very well-run. And it's, you know, it's very formal and old school, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's fun to go from that to Zombie, which is completely crazy in the best way. And it's also physically a lot because you have to be a zombie, but then be sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a comedy.
Yeah.
And it is just the funnest.
Raunchy, funny, sexy.
So mm-hmm. wrong, it's right. And the audience just has a blast. It's a very different experience. The Showstoppers is very much a giving to the audience and inviting them into this beautiful old school musical theater, you know, letting them relive those moments. It's very, very beautiful. And then Zombies, like this raunchy, fun, you know, you want them to laugh and have a good time and hoot and holler and have fun in this like insane world where zombies have a burlesque show. I mean, it's just crazy.
That's a folks, if you're not familiar with that show, it's at the V Theater, what they call V3 at Miracle Miles Shops at Planet Hollywood. And it's underground vibe for
I love
very
it.
Very underground.
I love the makeup, the costumes. It's hysterical. And that cast is
the cast is
dolls.
Great. And they have a band in that show.
Yep, they do. And everyone there is cool.
I told that show up as an example of how you can get a band into a show.
Yeah.
Zombie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What do they call the Atomic fun. Players or something?
Yeah. They're awesome. And everyone there's sweet as can be. It's a fun group too. Mm-hmm. It's small and intimate. And it's just wild. That show goes by in 2 seconds, but boy, are you tired at the end because you're constantly moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fantasy is more of a hostess. So
yeah,
that is
the
a
MC,
great
singing
an MC. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good learning experience because that is all about connecting with the audience as an MC. So it's a totally different. So if anything, it's almost like I'm going to class. Like it's like, okay, now I got to focus on this, and now I got to focus on this, and now this. And then Alice is very much very character driven. It's also difficult vocally and very physical. So that's a whole other world.
Well, you've seen this as a performer. I mean, you're not only a consumer of the entertainment, but you're a participant in all these different types of shows. You run the same schedule I do, pretty much. And I wonder, and as you are focused on, where does Alice fit into this market? How does the show Alice fit in terms of a venue and scheduling and marketing in all these shows that we're describing?
I think Alice is a great 5-day-a-week run. Just because it's so physical. I mean, the poor cast would pass out. We're ready. By the end, we're all like, oh, God, just because it's
be
so
zombies.
Much. Yes, we would. I think where I was kind of surprised with Alice is that we hit a larger age group than I anticipated. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to be the 18 to 35, and we hit all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the music choices, because I went eclectic to now. So everyone can enjoy that moment. And it's also, I wanted something that wasn't, I didn't go like in the sexy route. It's really more character driven and storyline heavy. So people kind of get more of that storytelling, you know, which, you know, Vegas is very sexy, which is awesome. But I wanted to kind of go a little different to give them a different taste, something a little different. And we actually have done really well and better than I thought, reaching a bigger demographic. I think for the hotel, definitely we need the right theater because there's still a lot of rigging work I'd like to do.
Beyond what you're doing at Brooklyn Bowl?
Oh, very much so. Okay. The idea for the whole finale is mm-hmm. like a completely different.
And well, Bally's also, has a theater now.
Yes, they do. It's very big.
We could ride on Samson's Bowl.
Yeah,
there's we'll no bring Samson's Bowl. Space in that.
We'll take it. But you know, I think it depends on the hotel itself, their clientele, the marketing, what they're looking to do, and that is a continual lesson I'm learning. In that each hotel is very specific, and the clientele they hit.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with our foreign clientele and what they enjoy. So, you know, I think Alice in Wonderland is so universal. And I designed it in a steampunk design because it's funky and fun, and you can do different levels of steampunk. We lean towards more of the neo-Victorian.
Right.
So that's where we are. And that's also a tribute to Lewis Carroll as well.
Yeah, the costumes for sure.
They're beautiful. And mm-hmm. I'm constantly redesigning them and changing them. They're also difficult to do because it is so physical. Steampunk has a lot of pieces to it usually, and they're heavy and they're metal. So the mm-hmm. challenge that Jeffrey's been so wonderful with is with his designs, he and Georgia have been creating alternatives that I can use that look metallic, but no one's going to die. So that's a continual journey for us. But we'll have brand new costumes for Claudia is going to be completely different this next show.
Claudia Mitria.
Yeah, who plays the caterpillar.
Yes.
She's incredible.
The backing dancers are top flight. Last question for you, Ashley. This is obviously Anne's passion, and she's into it.
Yes.
Are you along? Are you going to stick with this thing and see it through the
100%
wherever it goes?
Yes, I am. I believe not only just in Anne and her talents and her creativity, but also the show. I really feel like I'm in it all the way, 100%.
Well, you can see it, folks, as we wrap it up. Alice, a steampunk concert fantasy, February 24th at Brooklyn Bowl, pre-show at 10 p.m., the main show at 11 p.m. All right, thanks, guys. We'll do it again. Thanks much.